All right, we've got breaking news and an update to the war story of what we're seeing in the Middle East. Doesn't seem like diplomacy is working out. It doesn't seem like there's diplomacy at all, I guess. And we've got Jim Rickards here. Jim is a former advisor to the CIA and Pentagon. He has had boots on the ground in the Middle East. He knows how war games play out. And right now, we've got a story that's not being told that we might be seeing escalation that could lead to nuclear fallout, could lead to nuclear war. So, Jim, get us caught up. Diplomacy, no diplomacy. What's going on over there? And what does everyone need to know?
Yeah, we're not seeing much diplomacy. I wish there were more. Nobody wants to talk to the Russians, but the Russians are like, okay, we'll just keep quitting the war. Israelis are not talking to the Iranians. There's some back channel there. The U.S. is trying to use diplomacy, but unfortunately, we have completely incompetent, not very bright people in charge, starting with the president, who's mentally impaired. But even Jake Sullivan, national security advisor, is a campaign hack. I mean, when I look at Jake Sullivan and Anthony Blinken, who's the Secretary of State, and I compare them to Republicans and Democrats from decades past, whether it's Dean Acheson, John Foster Dulles, James Baker, George Shultz, Henry Kissinger, some of the giants of diplomacy, foreign affairs, and national security. And I look at it's not even a B team, more of a C team that we have in place. It's a little discouraging and cause for concern. But what happened in Israel? Because I woke up this morning and heard the news and looked at the markets, and they hadn't moved a lot. Stocks were kind of sideways. Gold, it was sideways. It wasn't soaring. Israel did this raid on Iran, but not much happened. And Iran said, well, we're not going to retaliate, and maybe this is over at this point or whatever. I don't view it that way. I was surprised the markets were so kind of nonplussed by the whole thing. What Israel struck was in the vicinity of a city called Natanz. Natanz is the center of the Iranian nuclear program. Now, you have to understand what in a nuclear program, I'm using the word program kind of loosely, but it's got a lot of parts. You need a nuclear reactor to get the fuel. You need an enrichment facility, so-called yellow cake, that they use in they can put in nuclear reactors. It's got to be enriched to about a 90% U-235 level, and that's a very, very difficult process. And Iran does have that capability, so they've been building up this what they call HEU, highly enriched uranium. You need research facilities because you got to figure out how to do all this. It's kind of like Los Alamos. You need engineering and mechanical facilities. You got to create the missile, create the bomb, etc. And a lot else besides. So these things have many parts. They're all technical. They're all challenging. One by one, Iran is getting there. So, but it's all centered in this area, in the Natanz. So you can't put a nuclear reactor underground. You can't. So that's they're above ground. We know where they are. Israel has one. At least Iran has one. And you don't want to mess with those because now you're back to a Chernobyl type situation. There is the enrichment facility, but this stuff is buried deeply underground. You cannot, it would almost take a tactical nuclear weapon to blow up their uranium enrichment facilities because they're deep underground. But the one thing the Israelis, they did hit is their research facility. And that's important because, without the scientists and the research capability, you can't really advance even if you have these other components in place. To me, that's a very big deal. Not only an Israeli attack on Iranian territory, we've crossed that red line. Okay, so when Israel attacked the Iranian consulate in Damascus, now that consulate was a sort of a phony consulate, so they could have terrorist generals meeting, close to the battlefront. But be that as it may, technically, Iran could argue, well, that's our territory. When you have an embassy overseas, it's a little patch of your home country. So when Israel attacked the Iranian consulate in Damascus in Syria, Iran said, you just attacked Iran because that was our consulate. Then Iran attacked Israel the other night with those 300 missiles. That's a whole other story. And now Israel has struck back at Iran in this Natanz vicinity. Well, okay. All of a sudden, Israel and Iran are shooting directly at each other. They're not using the Houthis or the Hezbollah or Hamas or Iraqi Shiites. They're attacking each other directly on their own territories. And Israel is a nuclear power. They've never admitted it, but they are. No one doubts that. And Iran is an aspiring nuclear power. So you've got one full nuclear power, one near nuclear power, attacking each other directly. It's called war. So I don't know why everyone's shrugging that off. Hopefully it doesn't get worse. Hopefully it doesn't go further here. But we have, if you go all the way back to the Hamas attack in Gaza, and then the Israeli response in Gaza, then the Houthis closing the Red Sea and the Suez Canal, the U.S. attacking the Houthis, not that it would do any good, but we did. Hezbollah shooting off some missiles, Israel striking back at Hezbollah, then Israel heading the consulate, Iran heading Israel, Israel heading Iran. This is called escalation, and this is how nuclear wars begin. I've studied this since the 1960s. I actually have a chapter in my new book coming in November on the new book on artificial intelligence, but I look at how artificial intelligence interacts with nuclear war fighting. So that's my kind of particular topic. But I just know a lot about nuclear war fighting doctrine. And one, experts disagree a little bit, but one thing they all agree on is that nobody wakes up and says, hey, nice day, I think I'll drop a nuclear bomb. Nobody does that. But what does happen is you escalate. One side hits, another side hits back. They hit back, they hit back, and you escalate. And this is all laid out in the 1950s, by the way, but not much has changed in terms of the theory. And finally, somebody gets backed into a corner. They're like, okay, that's it, last straw. I have to use nuclear weapons. And the irony is the country that decides they have to use nuclear weapons, the other side says, oh, you're going to use nuclear weapons? We have a preemptive policy, which is if you're going to, we're going to do it first. Because the first guy to strike, kind of nobody wins, but they're a little better off, at least in the short run. So you have a preemptive nuclear strike by the guy who didn't think he was going to do it in the first place. That's still true. So what's going on? We are walking up the Iran and Israel and the world are walking up this escalatory ladder. And I lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis. I remember in those days, it was pre-internet. We had newspapers. And I remember, you know, I was like, I don't know, 11, 12, I guess it was 11 years old. And one day I looked at the newspaper and it was in the middle of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and it was on the front page, it was a map. And it showed Cuba and kind of the eastern United States up to Maine and Canada. And there were these concentric circles, and the circles were distances, you know, 100 miles, 500 miles, 1,000 miles that missiles might fly depending on the missile. And what everyone did is they wanted to see where they live. Am I in one of those circles? Do I live somewhere where a Russian missile, Soviet missile in Cuba could blow me up? And in my case, the answer was yes. I lived near Philadelphia, which is well within one of these circles. So, we did air raid drills and the whole thing. So I remember that period very well, but it was one where Kennedy and Khrushchev backed down. Like they were going up the ladder and they backed down and then backed down some more, and then it was resolved. I don't see Israel and Iran backing down. I see them continuing to go up the ladder. And if you want to know what nuclear war is like, people don't seem that familiar with it, but picture yourself with where all the skin has been ripped off your body and you're walking around with your eyeballs in your hands. That's what happens in nuclear war. So I don't know why that's not getting more attention from the White House, but we have incompetence in charge.
Yeah, that's some terrifying stuff. Jim, we appreciate your take on this. It's a fast-moving story. It keeps evolving, and we're going to keep you on our speed dial in case anything's happening. If you're at home and you're not caught up with strategic intelligence and Jim's letter, make sure you read it. We're here on YouTube. Go ahead, give us a like, give us a subscribe, and we'll keep you up to speed on what we see coming and any next moves that could happen there in the Middle East and beyond. Thanks again for your time. And everyone at home, we appreciate you tuning in. Thanks again. Thanks, Jim, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks.